Good afternoon, everyone. Last year, I delivered a sermonette in which we examined the various accounts of Paul's conversion. While some differences in the story do exist, we ultimately determined that the Bible does not contradict itself. The passages we examined were shown as being harmonious, even complementing one another quite richly. In the same vein, there's another passage in the New Testament that naysayers like to point to. If the Bible were inspired, they say, how can such a blatant contradiction exist? So today we're going to take a look at that, followed by a brief examination of another biblical misnomer, and hopefully clear up any misconceptions. For continuity, however, I will say that both issues concern time. More specifically, the timing of certain events, which are applicable to this season. Therefore, without further ado, we'll jump right into the first. For context, I'll begin reading in verse 12 of John 19. You could begin turning there if you'd like. That's John 19:12. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which I believe most of us have, says this. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, Jesus, that is. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, pay close attention here, because we've arrived at the verse in question. Notice what's said next. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold, your king, end quote. All right. Do we see anything unusual here? Certainly the verse sounds fairly straightforward. The focus, however, concerns the timing. Not only do we commonly view the word preparation in a particular context, which we'll come back to later, but notice the sixth hour is specified. Now let's contrast that against another scripture. Over in Mark chapter 15, verse 24. We'll look at Mark's version of events, and again, that's in Mark 15, 24, which says, and when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Folks, if Jesus were placed on the cross at the third hour, or 9 a.m., as Mark says here, then how could he possibly still be talking to Pilate at the sixth hour, as we just read over in John? Well, knowing the Bible doesn't contradict itself, and endeavoring to answer this question, a number of alternatives have been suggested, and naturally, they cannot all be true. In fact, I dare say that you'd be hard-pressed to find any commentary yielding a satisfactory answer, or for that matter, a suitable translation that would at least point us in the right direction. For example, concerning our featured verse, notice what the ISV, the International Standard Version, says. Quote, now it was the preparation day for the Passover, about noon, he said to the Jews, here is your king, or the equally flawed New Living Translation, which says, it was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover, and Pilate said to the people, look, here is your king. But is that what John wrote? No. What these Bible translators have done is convoluted the problem even more by inserting the word noon instead of the sixth hour, and so forced their interpretation onto the scripture. So it stands to follow that we need to determine what John really meant. Because to go where these translators just took us actually moves us further away from the solution, doesn't it? So again, what was John talking about? Was it the sixth hour of the day? Perhaps it was the sixth hour of the night. Was John using Roman time instead of customary Jewish time? Or is there some other answer? As we proceed, an important thing to note from our featured verse is that it was at the end of Jesus' trial when Pilate was about to turn him over to be crucified. Remember that. That was the setting. That's when the featured verse occurred. Pilate basically said, "We're done," washed his hands of it, and Jesus was led off to Golgotha to be crucified. Now, as we've already seen, some have tried to interpret the sixth hour as the sixth hour of the day, which, of course, would make it about 12 noon or slightly after by Jewish time. And since we already know from Mark 15:25 that Jesus' suffering on the cross began long before noon, I think we can dispense with this as being an option, which really isn't an option anyway, since it fails to harmonize the scriptures. So let's move on to the next alternative. Because if it wasn't the sixth hour of the day, perhaps it was the sixth hour of the night. Now, in the springtime of the year, according to biblical time, the night would begin around 6 p.m., making the sixth hour about midnight. In this scenario, this alternative would mean that Jesus was turned over to be crucified at midnight, or that his examination before Pilate concluded then. But does that work? Again, not at all. This would mean that a large number of events would now have to be crammed into a short span of time between sunset and midnight. For example, we know the Passover was eaten with his disciples after sunset, yet still before midnight, which is fine. We have no problem accepting this as happening before midnight. Next, they would have gone and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, still somewhat acceptable as having occurred before midnight, in part. But then Jesus was arrested. Then he was brought before Annas. Then before Caiaphas. Then before the Sanhedrin. Next, Jesus appeared before Pilate. Then he was led to Herod Antipas. And finally, after all that, he was led back to Pilate for the second time, where our featured verse takes place. So did all that happen before midnight? Well, to begin with, Luke 22:66, you don't have to turn there, says that Jesus was led away to the Sanhedrin when it became day, and then according to Matthew 27:1, to his first meeting with Pilate, quote, in the morning, end quote. So no, very obviously this sequence of events did not occur before midnight, meaning the sixth hour of John 19:14 could not be referring to the sixth hour of the night any more than it referred to the sixth hour of the day via Jewish time. Next, some have tried to interpret the sixth hour of John 19:14 using Roman time. That is, taking a day to start at midnight, thereby interpreting the sixth hour as being 6 a.m. in the morning. Shocking as that may be, a few translations have assumed this and written it directly into the text. For example, notice what the God's Word translation says, again, of our featured verse. Quote, "The time was about 6 o'clock in the morning of the Passover festival. Pilate said to the Jews, 'Look, here's your king.'" Similarly, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "It was the preparation day for the Passover, and it was about 6 in the morning. Then he told the Jews, 'Here is your king.'" Except here, we have the same situation as before. Scripture says that Jesus was led away to the Sanhedrin when it became day, and then to his first meeting with Pilate, morning having come. In other words, by interpreting the sixth hour to mean 6 a.m., which was still before sunrise, we now force these events, including Pilate's statement, "Behold, your king," as all having occurred in the dark. So with respect to those entertaining this option, it biblically doesn't work. And of course, there are other problems with accepting this alternative, not the least of which being this would be the only place in the Bible where an inspired writer ever used Roman timing. Roman timing that many scholars insist didn't exist then. Starting a day at midnight began hundreds of years later, they say. And so for these reasons, we should reject this possibility and conclude that John was not measuring a day as starting and ending at midnight. Now moving on to the next theory, which many have proposed. I'll simply introduce such by phrasing it as a question. Did the original manuscript really say the sixth hour? Did the original manuscript really say the sixth hour? Before answering this, we need to understand that abbreviations were often used for numbers in the period when the New Testament manuscripts were written. Known as the Ionic system, such was based on the 24 characters used in the Koine Greek alphabet. Hence, the gamma symbol was used for 3 and the appeasement symbol was used for 6. When these were not written correctly, some believe there was a possibility of misinterpretation. The Clark's commentary on the Bible, for example, says that it was easy for these symbols to be confused for one another. Meanwhile, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says concerning our featured verse, quote, the true reading here is probably the third hour, or 9 a.m., which agrees best with the whole series of events as well as with the other evangelists, end quote. Now, if Clark's commentary sounds cavalier and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown sounds speculative, that's because the vast majority of evidence, manuscript evidence, is against it. In other words, both commentaries recognize the discrepancy and are understandably desperate to resolve it, even if such means ignoring the ecclesiastical majority text. And not only that, but this theory also fails to point out a specific instance in any ancient manuscript in which these symbols have been confused or look similar in the featured verse. Therefore, to simply say, well, depending on the manuscript, these symbols look similar here and there, and therefore that must be what happened in John 19:14, isn't going to cut it. It doesn't pass muster. We're still left wanting, aren't we? Especially when you consider that Jesus was placed on the cross around 9 a.m., not that his trial with Pilate concluded then. So this vain attempt by Clark's and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown only get us closer, but they still don't solve the problem. So let's move on to the next possibility. And this one is specifically related to the Jews' interpretation of the biblical phrase between the evenings, which was really a reinterpretation in support of their tradition of a late Passover, which I will admit, on its face, sounds somewhat plausible, that John was simply referring to the preparation of the Jews' late Passover. That is, until we realize that such doesn't really explain the reference to it being the sixth hour. In other words, the sixth hour as measured from what exactly? Remember, as was previously said, John 19:14, our featured verse, occurred at the end of Jesus' trial, right before Pilate handed him over to be crucified, which we already know was sometime after sunrise, yet still in the morning. So by all reckoning, this time frame, less 6 hours, taking us back into the middle of the night somewhere, doesn't make any sense if this alternative were true. Plus, John never prefaced this saying as having anything to do with the incorrect Pharisaical reinterpretation of Scripture. Instead, John said it was the preparation of the, or the, Passover, not their Passover. Therefore, because this alternative fails to withstand the mentioned scrutiny, we'll simply default to the next so-called alternative. And this one, frankly, is difficult to even tell you about with a straight face. This theory postulates that Jesus didn't really keep the Passover on the 14th, but on the 13th, the wrong day. This way, Jesus could stand before Pilate at midday on the 13th and still be crucified at 9 a.m. on the 14th. Now, of all the suggested options, this one is, in my opinion, arguably the most absurd, because if Jesus didn't keep the Passover on the 14th, which according to Scripture is when it was supposed to have been kept, then we introduce an entire host of biblical problems that far outweigh any attempt to balance John 19:14, our featured verse. So it begs the question, How could anyone even think such a thing? Why in the world was this possibility even suggested? Well, believe it or not, those who came up with this one are not without excuse. And exploring that reason will help us to unravel the mystery, exposing the intent of what John really meant. After all, most translations, including the New King James Version, which I initially read the featured verse from, added the word day. That is, the preparation day of the Passover would precede the Passover, would it not? But as I just said, the word day isn't there. John didn't write it. Once again, translators endeavoring to add clarity managed to convolute this passage to the place in which it conflicted with other clear passages. Fortunately, there's several other translations, including the Old King James, which gets it right. Meanwhile, the Young's Literal and the Literal Standard Versions yield the verse this way, quote, "It was the preparation of the Passover, and as it were, the sixth hour." Notice, no day is mentioned here. John simply identifies the sixth hour. Now, we're all aware of the word Passover, but when conversationally identifying the Passover, are we always and exclusively speaking about a day? Turn with me to Luke 22:14. We need to take a closer look at this word. Again, in Luke chapter 22, we'll begin reading in verse 14, which says, "When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Have you ever heard of someone eating an entire day? Of course not. In this passage, eating the Passover simply referred to eating a meal. Elsewhere, there are several New Testament references to killing the Passover, which certainly would have occurred on the 14th, or what we commonly recognize as Wednesday in 31 AD, or more specifically, after sunset on Tuesday evening. But in any event, the fourth day of the week was not killed. Instead, those passages very obviously are referring to the Passover lamb. So it stands to follow. Were those lambs first prepared? Were they first examined? What does the Bible say, or rather mandate, concerning the Passover lamb, which undoubtedly would have been fulfilled in Jesus? Next, let's turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. Exodus 12 is the first place in the Bible that furnishes instructions concerning the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." But unless otherwise examined, how could it be determined whether the lamb was without blemish or remained without blemish after being selected on the 10th? According to Scripture, in order to be accepted, every sacrifice had to be perfect, and the Passover lamb was certainly no exception. You don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 22:20 says, if you want to write it down, "Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf." And aside from not being accepted, which by itself is very serious, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1, again, if you want to write that down, says this, "You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or a sheep which has any blemish or defect." Notice this, "for that is an abomination to the Lord." So it wasn't just a scenario where God would reject the offering, but further stated that such would be an abomination. Hence, all sacrifices had to be examined to make sure they were perfect. Therefore, Jesus, as the antitype of the Passover lamb, had to be examined by the priests also before he could be killed. In fact, Jesus was not only examined by the priests and the high priest, but also Herod and Pilate. And at the end of it all, The conclusion was this, quote, I find in him no fault at all. That's in John 18, 38, and reaffirmed 8 verses later. Jesus Christ was found without blemish or defect. Thus, as the perfect acceptable sacrifice, he was turned over to be killed. Having met every requirement, Jesus was found eligible to die for you and for me. Our conclusion, then, is that the sixth hour of John 19:14 refers to the sixth hour of the trial and examination of Jesus, the Passover lamb. Or, as was previously mentioned, questioned and examined throughout the night by numerous officials. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Scripture interprets Scripture. Again, the sixth hour refers to the sixth hour of the preparation of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, for slaughter. And in this passage, the word preparation comes from periaskiatsu, which could also mean to make one's self ready. In fact, if you didn't catch it before, recall again how the verse ends. I read it numerous times. Behold, your king. Behold, your king. Behold, your king who made himself ready. The verse interprets itself. The Passover lamb is our king. And the same author, the Apostle John, said as much in Revelation chapter 5. Four times referencing Jesus as the lamb, twice associated with his sacrifice, and tellingly connecting it all to his kingship. Behold, your king. Now, admittedly, Pilate's intention in saying this may have been somewhat snarky, but it makes no difference because it was John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who linked the moniker to it being the sixth hour. To help illustrate, and therefore making this plain, notice the following timeline. The selection, not examination, but the selection of the Passover occurred on the 10th of Nisan, often associated with the triumphal entry whereby Jesus rode into town. Sometime on the 13th, Jesus sent his disciples to prepare the Passover. Then, at the beginning of the 14th, or shortly after sunset, they sat down for the Passover supper, foot washing, and conversation, followed by singing. About midnight, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and there Jesus prayed until his arrest. Now this, we're going to say, happened around 2 a.m. And as we proceed with this approximation, you're going to see why. Next, as was previously mentioned, he was sent to Annas, then to Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin. This brings us to his first meeting with Pilate, shortly after 6 a.m. when Scripture identifies the morning sun. After which, he appeared and stood silent before Herod, and was then returned to Pilate, where he was scourged, rather. Then, at about 8 a.m., or after 6 hours of examination and trial, he was declared innocent, but sentenced to death. And finally, he was crucified at about 9 a.m., which is the third hour of the day, via biblical or Jewish time. And of course, he died around the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. Remember that, by the way, because we'll come back to it. Therefore, as shown, John 19:14, our featured verse, could just as easily be translated as this. And it was about the sixth hour of the preparation of the Passover lamb, Jesus, and Pilate said to the Jews, Behold, your king. A preparation or examination of that king that lasted about 6 hours. That is, beginning at his arrest or shortly thereafter and concluding with Pilate's summation, I find no fault in him. And so what may have originally seemed like a confusing passage, and as shown, certainly one that has confounded commentaries and translators alike, is really quite simple. The harmony of the Gospels really do complement one another quite nicely. Now, only a moment ago, I said we were going to come back to something. One thing still needs buttoning up. At the beginning, I mentioned another biblical misnomer, and it concerns the timing of Jesus' death, which, again, we know to have been around the ninth hour or 3 p.m. And as such, some have questioned whether an evening Passover service is appropriate, a practice the Church of God adopted long ago and kept last night. If we're to commemorate the Lord's death, why not do so in the late afternoon when Jesus died, they ask. Ergo, the Jewish, or perhaps better known today as the Messianic reinterpretation of Scripture, namely the meaning of Bian, Ha, or Bam, which is translated between the evenings. Of course, we touched on this concept a little already. We understand this term to mean the period beginning at sunset and concluding with total darkness, which is correct. God instructed the lamps in the tabernacle, for example, and later the temple, to be lit between the evenings, which makes perfect sense. Likewise, in Exodus chapter 16, when Israel complained they had no meat, what did God say? For sake of brevity, I'll simply tell you, God said that he would give them quail between the evenings, and then in the morning, he gave them a curious substance called manna. The manna continued for 6 consecutive days, which is revealing because it meant their initial complaint about having no meat occurred on the Sabbath. Again, if manna fell the next morning and continued for 6 consecutive days, that means their complaint, in which God responded, was on the Sabbath day. Now about that quail. You think God provided it on the Sabbath, thereby causing them to have to go out and collect it? No way. Not at all. Clearly, between the evenings meant that God waited until sunset for the Sabbath to be over, yet still before total darkness, so Israel could still see to collect their dinner. And of course, as was previously mentioned, they were given manna for breakfast. Now, my purpose here isn't to exhaust every biblical example of the phrase known as Bian Ha or Bam, or between the evenings. But it's of utmost importance that we understand that this window, this time frame, is also when the Passover lamb was to be killed. So again, if our interpretation is correct, and it is, why then did Jesus not die until the following afternoon? He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb, is he not? That's where we've spent the majority of this message, is it not? And if the purpose of our Passover ceremony is to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, which is a command, why must we do so the evening before he died? Brethren, I submit to you, endeavoring to answer these questions have caused some to err. That is to say, human reasoning has muddied the water. Yet if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, the answers to all these questions are found in Scripture. They are literally embedded in the very words spoken by Christ who left us the clues. Now, the first thing we should notice is that even though Christ died on the afternoon of the 14th, his suffering actually began the night before while he was still with his disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. Jesus chose his words carefully, saying what needed to be said at precisely the right time for us to put the clues together. Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death.'" Unto death. Remember that because he hadn't even been arrested yet. Yet Jesus commands us to observe the Passover service in remembrance of him. Not Israel, not of the Exodus, that comes later, but of him proclaiming his death, which evidently was meant to include everything from his betrayal onward. Notice, for example, what Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says. If you are already in that chapter, just Scroll back a few verses. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says, pay close attention to the actual words spoken. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Was it really his body? No, it was unleavened bread. But do we see what's happening here? Continuing. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed, present tense. Was it really his spilt blood, present tense? No, it was wine. But again, do we see what Christ was doing here? His words, spoken right here, bien, ha, or bam, between the evenings, are spiritual. This ceremony involved substitutional elements whereby the disciples fed on the true Passover lamb. Symbolically substituting himself between the evenings was the fulfillment of Jesus' claim, I am the bread of life, and he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Moreover, Christ's modification of the Passover symbols is consistent with his responsibility as the mediator of the new covenant. In this act, between the evenings, Christ is the Passover lamb unto death. Remember, his words are spiritual. What happened the following afternoon was simply a confirmation of what Christ had already set in motion. Therefore, it's during this service that we kept last night that we assembled just as the original disciples had done to partake of his body and blood. Jesus even called this service the Passover with fervent desire. Remember, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Those whom I mentioned earlier who have erred, they don't know what to do with this verse. Jesus called it the Passover. Jesus also established the foot washing service, after which he commanded us, saying, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And to Peter he said, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. All said, all spoken between the evenings. Then came the end. He was taken by lawless hands. He was shuffled around all night long, examined, as it were. Eventually, the night gave way to the morning sun. Thus, in full view of everyone, a multi-thronged lash, laced with metal and bone fragments, a crown of thorns, and three iron spikes, measuring 7 to 9 inches long, were used against him. Psalms 22:17 indicates that his bones were visually exposed, though not broken. The depth and severity of the lacerations cut through his flesh, and in some areas tore muscle and sinew away. The crown caused additional bleeding, possibly rendering Jesus unrecognizable to anyone but the Father. Blessed are we and everyone whom that blood has cleansed. What an incredible sacrifice that began between the evenings.